going to be able to pull it off. And this is an episode that I have been wanting to record since I started this podcast. As you know, many of you who have been listening to this podcast either for a long time or maybe you just recently started listening to it, you know that one of the main stars of this show actually is a silent star, someone who you never hear from but you always hear about. And that is, of course, Alessandro. Alessandro is, of course, one of the most important people in my life. And he is my partner. He is my friend. He is my first influence when it comes to all things Italian. He has helped me learn Italian. He has helped me learn about Italy and about the culture. And he's been my number one guide when it comes to understanding the country, the culture, the food, you name it. He's been there with me from the very beginning, and I can't even imagine doing my life without Alessandro in it. He's such an important part of my life. I absolutely love and adore him. I just can't say enough wonderful things about him as a human being. He's literally the best person I know. He's kind, he's intelligent, he's quiet and gentle, so much more put together, really, than I am. You kind of have to, if you want to get to know Alessandro, you have to make an effort to get to know him, because he's not going to just volunteer everything about himself. And anytime I noticed someone investing enough time and energy to get to know him, I realized that those are the people who have insight and really good taste in people. One of the reasons why I wanted to do this interview now, and I'm so glad that Alessandro has agreed to do this, is because tomorrow I'm getting on an airplane in Atlanta and flying from Atlanta through London back to Venice. And I have no return trip booked, and because of his immigration status, Alessandro really is not able to be outside the United States any longer while he is in the process of getting his U.S. citizenship. So I could have stayed in the United States with Alessandro, but after we talked about it quite a bit, we've decided, let's see if we can survive without each other for a period of time. My work is mostly in Italy. Alessandro is able to do his work pretty much anywhere in the world, and so we are preparing to go our separate ways temporarily, which is kind of heartbreaking and kind of a little bit sad for me. It's something we haven't ever experienced this long period, and we don't even know how long it's going to be. I literally have no idea when I'm coming back. I don't know when he's coming to Italy for a visit. So here we are. We're sitting down, and he's sitting right next to me. And I want to sort of have you get to hear from Alessandro's own words. He has a beautiful Italian accent. Now, I could go on and on, but I know that rather than hearing about Alessandro anymore, you'd like to hear directly from him. And so, without further ado, I would like to introduce Alessandro Borelli.
Ciao, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi.
How is it to be sitting down and doing this podcast interview with me?
Oh, it is very interesting, and I'm very happy to be with you today and being part of your podcast and sharing our journey together.
Well, you've been really, really patient over the last 2 years almost, as I've been trying to record surrounding sounds. And we've been driving all over Italy, trying to talk about different regions of Italy. We've been searching for property together, and you've really been such a good sport about everything that I'm doing in Italy. And especially since all of your interests are kind of starting to grow in the United States, and my interests are growing in Italy, we're trying to find a balance, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And I think that is a wonderful experience, especially sharing what you are going through, especially moving to Italy, because it's what I have done very beginning 6 years ago when I moved to United States. It was not an easy process that I thought. I thought when I moved here to just enjoy a new life here in United States, because United States is just like a place that everybody would like to live. But I didn't think about all situations and circumstances that I was going to face over time. And yeah, I think that you experienced the same thing in Italy.
Have you enjoyed the process of moving to the United States and sort of assimilating and becoming part of the culture here, or has it been as challenging as it's been enjoyable, would you say?
Well, fortunately, I had you, and you were my guide, and the love for you gave me a lot of strength. And to be honest, there is a part of me that felt very insecure, regardless of you, because it's not something that we can overcome relying to your partner. It's all about the life change, about religion, about people, about the way that they think, the language, everything. It's just a big, enormous change of life. Yeah, it was very interesting in the very beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge change, isn't it? And Italy is so different. Would you say that the hardest change of all was the language?
Language and culture. Because it is very different. Because United States is so big, so wide. And I have found over time that no matter which place in the world you are, you can find similarities. And I have found even in United States very, very similar situations that you could find in Italy too, like North, South, the differences about people, what they think of each other. And yeah, absolutely.
I want to ask you a little bit about your childhood and what it was like for you growing up in Italy. And your heart is still so much in Naples. Specifically in Vomero, in the little village that you grew up in Naples, kind of up at the top of the city. And whenever you talk about whenever you feel sort of homesick for Italy, it seems like it's always Naples where you feel homesick. And I've noticed that there's something very unique. Most Italians love where they're from, but there's something even more super loyal that Napoletanos, am I saying that correctly? Napoletano?
Napoletano, yes.
Okay. Yeah. For the longest time, I was saying Napolitano, but it's Napoletano.
Yeah, but just express yourself.
Napoletani.
Yes, many.
They are a very, very proud and a very, very loyal, fiercely loyal group of Italians. They believe that they have the best city, the best food, the best everything. And you kind of feel like that, don't you?
I think that is something very deep where I was born and raised, because in reality it's not that I love to preach Naples in the world, but it's just the story that my city has taught over the years in all world, like, you know, from pizza, cafe, music, art, beauty, and then we have all the surrounding, like, you know, islands like Ischia, Capri, Procida, that is not so much mentioned, but is a very beautiful island I recommend to visit. Then Amalfi, then we have Cilento. My region, Campania, is so beautiful and has a lot to offer, no? What I can say that I'm coming from a family that is multi-region. For example, my grandmother, she's Sicilian, so I could have even the roots from Sicily. And my grandfather, from my mom's side, was Napoletano. And my other grandmother is American, and my other grandfather is Napoletano. So those stories that I had on both sides, two different cultures, like little bit American, little bit Sicilian, and a strong dominance on the Napoletanian side, based since the day that I was born. It was all about food, tradition, and, you know, superstition, religion. And yeah, I was also raised Catholic, But the thing is, all Italy is based on the Catholic religion, but it's not so important. It's not like that you have to follow, you know, the religion, otherwise something bad happen. No, that's not true. Reality, people today are growing in Italy so much, especially in the south. But this is also another topic. And what I want to say, I was raised in this wonderful city of Naples that gave me so much since day zero. And I had a wonderful mom and a wonderful dad and two brothers and one sister. And I had to grow very fast because to a certain point my parents got divorced. My goal was to just achieve all things that my parents wanted, and like to have an education, to study psychology, to study psychotherapy, to study hypnotherapy, and until that I got my PhDs, and I worked in hospitals for many years. The beautiful thing about Naples, it's something that it's not easy to describe, because it's something that there is a proverb an old proverb that is very popular. Go to Naples, see Naples, and then die, because it's so beautiful, it is so breathtaking that you would not leave Naples, because in the moment that you get there, you will find that there is a different magical culture, especially in Christmas time. But I can say all year, it's not only about Christmas, about the food. The food that is very simple, we use very simple ingredients. I was raised to use garlic for specific dishes and onions with other dishes. We don't mix both together. We are very picky in the way that we cook, in the way that we taste, and the most important thing that also Nathan knows very well, I don't tolerate like to eat everything one dish. I love many courses, from appetizer, pasta, for example, and then meat or seafood with side dish. So the food is very important, is one very important factor of my culture, but also the wine, the coffee, and many other aspects. Growing up was not easy, like in every city, no? But in the very end, I could say Naples gave me so much, like beauty and culture. I could always visit any kind of monument that I wanted in any day of the week. And if I decided to just go on a beach, I could just choose any place that I wanted, go from Amalfi to Sorrento and plan week after week where to go, or restaurants that are very inexpensive in Naples, and especially in Campania. And there is so much to talk about it. Yeah, I'm very excited.
I see that as you're beginning to talk about your home city, your smile is you've got this big smile on your face, and you get very enthusiastic when you talk about Naples. I love that.
Yeah, it is, because Naples, for Napolitanians, that they moved abroad, or they moved even in the northern part of Italy, is the same, will be always in your heart. And anytime that you have a chance to go, we just fly and go back home. The reason why I have my relatives in Conegliano, and anytime that they can, they just fly to Naples to spend a few days and just to enjoy and taste people, food, and just enjoy everything that they can, because it's so unique.
You also have the food sometimes, just because you miss the bread or you miss the mozzarella, you have deliveries brought up fresh the same day from Naples.
Exactly.
Because the food is so much, is so craved by the people who have moved up to the north, that they want to taste that very unique bread or that cheese or whatever it is, some of that wonderful food from their home city of Naples.
You see, for example, since day one that we were together, I explained to you the concept of mozzarella. Mozzarella is not a cheese for us, because mozzarella is produced in Naples every day. Every single day we have fresh mozzarella that comes directly from milk. And in this case, there are different varieties. There is mozzarella of buffalo, that is the best ever, that you can have very fresh any single day. Then you have the classic mozzarella, that tastes amazing too. Another one that is less flavorful, that is called fior di latte, that I love so much, and provola. Provola is the one with the dark skin, no? So, all these wonderful things combined with fresh bread that is produced also in the same day, because we have everything fresh and available, we have wonderful markets with fresh produce, with fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, fresh everything. It's one of the beauty of my city. Everywhere you go, even in a salumeria, where they sell prosciutto, mozzarella, it's everything fresh and produced in the day. So you know that that's so important, because it has a different flavor. Even though we lived in the northern part of Italy, I explained to Nathan that, you know, you cannot find this kind of mozzarella or this kind of food anywhere in the world. The only way is to ship.
So you mentioned your different grandparents, and the grandmother that we always talk about on this podcast, of course, is your mother's mother, Nonna, because that's your living grandmother, who is living up in the northern part of Italy with your mother and your aunt and all the family that's moved from Naples up to the north. So Nonna, tell me about her, and tell me some of your favorite memories from your childhood with her. And do you remember going to Sicily with her?
Yes, my grandparents were a model for me, because, you know, it's just like second parents for me, because my dad was not always present. So they were oftentimes my full figure, and I could always count on my grandmother, Cecilia, my grandfather, Salvatore. And they were so amazing. They taught me so much about life, about cooking, about many things in life. And they were always laughing and very, very happy. And I love them very much. And yeah, my grandmother, I have many memories about her, because she has been always a wonderful cook. And she was my inspiration to become on my own a good cook, and from you know, making bread, that is one amazing thing, or making arancini, that are these little balls with rice, or pasta al forno, that is pasta on the stove, or lasagna. She is just phenomenal. Or the chicken that she makes is unique, and she always talks about her siblings in Sicily, especially in Palermo. And I can remember when I was little, to the age of, I was 8, 9 maybe, I went with them just to visit her siblings. And it was amazing. It was a long, long ride on the train, the reason why I don't like trains, because it was like 12 hours from Naples to Palermo. And, you know, when you take a train from Naples, there is a long, long way to go down in Sicily, especially to Palermo. And I'm talking about many years ago, no? And then there is the Strait of Messina, that the train has to go in a boat.
The train goes on a boat?
Yes.
Wow.
And then connects to Sicily, and then from Sicily there is only one railway that goes from Catania to Palermo, the opposite side. So it was very interesting. I was very little, but I remember that was a very long, long way to get there in train. There is a way, when I have learned how to fly and to get flights, I became non-stop.
Wow, so the way you used to get to Sicily was from Naples, was a train, and you would stay on the train the entire way.
Yes, because in reality, my grandparents, they loved to travel with the trains, mm-hmm. because in Italy you have trains that you can go and back everywhere, no? Like for a long time and many hours. But I'm talking about many years ago, like 1995, mm-hmm. And less. So it was a wonderful experience when we went to Palermo to visit her siblings. It was exhausting because everybody wants to see you, and you have to go to each one and eat a meal that is endless, and meeting all these people that I didn't know that they existed, because there are 10 of them with the kids and other cousins, and it was wonderful experience. And I always loved them, and every time that they came to Naples to visit Nonna, it was a very wonderful experience, and this gave me so much, and especially to know all these little towns in Sicily that are very nice.
Yeah, that's beautiful. When your grandmother talks about her life in Sicily, she always lists off all of her siblings by name.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I almost have all their names memorized. Franca, Ciccio. Can you remember all their names?
No, I cannot. I can just tell you some, but Franca, Peppino, Marco, Stefano. I don't remember all of them because, but she always remembers them, and yeah, she's so cute.
So you have a lot of good memories of going to Sicily with your grandmother.
Yes, I went a couple of times. No, a lot.
Yeah. Now, your grandfather, he was from Naples. And so the reason that your grandparents ended up in Naples is because that's where your grandfather was from. And that's where he and your grandmother, that's where they lived, and that's where you grew up.
Yes.
So your grandfather, you've told me some stories about him that are just so sweet. What a kind man he was. He really, really loved you. You were like the apple of his eye, I think. I remember that there's just stories of when you were little, you had anemia, right? You were anemic and you were low on iron.
Yeah, when I was little, I had also different allergies, and also I could not eat the normal milk when I was a baby. So he was going to find everywhere this powder milk that in that time was very, very expensive. And he was just looking in all city of Naples to find some. And even for the iron, he was going to get some special meat filled with iron. And he was always so kind and wonderful with me, and always looking for the best. Yeah, he was number one for me.
And he would go and get all these things for you on his bicycle, wouldn't he?
Yes.
I just have this picture of your grandfather when you were a little tiny baby that just like warms my heart, that picture of your grandfather riding his bicycle around Naples looking for specific type of milk, special milk for you, and when you're little getting you special type of meat that was really high in iron just to make sure you were okay. That's just a really, what a sweet man he was. I'm so glad I got to know him before he passed away just a little bit. I wish I had gotten to spend more time with him, but he just adored you. Both of your grandparents just always, they always told me that you were such a golden human being. You were just such a wonderful, they just adored you. I loved how much they loved you, and they were so proud of you.
Yeah, I love them very much, and they are always, always in my mind, in my heart, yes.
So, can you tell me some stories of growing up in Naples? Some stories, some memories that you have. Maybe you were always a good little boy, but maybe some things that you did that you were like maybe a true Italian, little Italian boy that got into some mischief or some trouble. Like, did you ever find yourself where you were kind of sort of maybe not always obeying what you were supposed to do or following the rules? Or were you always, you weren't, I mean, I know you were a good little boy for sure.
Yeah, when I was little, I was going to school with the school bus, and me and another little boy that was my friend at the time, March 8th is the holiday for all women, where we celebrate all women in Italy. And what we do is just to buy some mimosa flowers and we give to every woman in our lives, you know, from our moms to our grandparents, my grandmother, and especially teachers. So what happened was that I'm just laughing thinking about that. It was that we got to the school, the school bus just brought us there, and instead of going to school directly, what we did, we were kind of 6-7, we were very little. There was this land that was very wide in front of school with different trees that they had these mimosa branches. So what we did, we didn't go to school, we just went on this field trying to get some branches for our teacher. And even though we were unsuccessful, because the tree was so tall and the branches were so unachievable to pick, we went to school and the teacher just said, why are you so late now? And I said, you know, we could not say the truth, but we said, no, we just got late and that's it. Now, after, when the bus came back to bring us back, I went back to home, and my mom received a call from a neighbor that was a relative of my friend, and she told my mom that we were just in this field trying to get some branches. So my mom, what she did was, you know, she gave me a lesson, and she said, you need to go directly to school because you don't need to go anywhere, because that's so important, like, you know, that you can meet strangers. It was very, very hilarious, yeah.
What did you have to wear to school when you were a little boy?
We had these uniforms that are blue with a wonderful bow for the boys, and the girls is white with a pink bow. And usually you use only for elementary school, not in middle school, not in high school. In middle school and high school, you just get dressed normally, in the way that, you know, you want. But in elementary school, you have this uniform.
And when you say uniform, can you describe the uniform a little bit? Like, what does it look like?
It's like, you know, it's more like a doctor uniform.
Doctor's uniform?
Yeah, it is white, no? But instead of being like this, it's all closed in the front.
Okay.
And in the back, you have the...
Okay, so it's
buttons.
Like, okay, so it's like a smock.
Yes.
And is there a big collar?
Yeah, with that bow.
Okay, so there's these big, huge, round collars that come down, white.
Yes.
Collars.
Yeah.
And then under the collar is a what colored bow?
Depends, you can choose, because there is not a rule about
it. But a big bow.
Yeah.
They're very cute.
Yeah.
They're very, very, very Italian.
Yeah.
But they're old fashioned, aren't they?
Very, because in today's world, they are not used anymore. Like, they are eliminating this.
So they don't do those in Italy anymore?
No.
Okay. So Christmas is coming up, and it's going to be, I think, one of your first Christmases. Well, I guess we've spent Christmases in New York that you didn't spend in Italy, but this is going to be our first Christmas apart since you moved to the United States, and since I've moved to Italy, since we're trying to do this sort of bizarre, it just doesn't make any sense when I start trying to describe it to people, or when I even think about it myself, that I'm in the process of moving to Italy and you're in the process of moving to the United States. It just doesn't make any sense. I know that it's a temporary window of time, a temporary chapter in our life, but anyway, I don't know how I'm going to do this Christmas not spending this Christmas with you. I'm sure we'll be on FaceTime, FaceTiming each other, and you'll be cooking in the United States and I'll be cooking in Italy, but it's going to be strange. Can you talk to me about some of your favorite childhood Christmas traditions from Naples? Some of your favorite things that you love about Christmas in Italy?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, I know. This is going to be a very, very interesting period for both of us, and I know that it's not going to be always amazing, but I'm very confident that we will get through this together. Yeah, and especially Christmas is a very important holiday, and it is a very, very long period. Especially in Christmas time, that's so important, and for us, for Napolitanians specifically, starts on December 8th and will end on January 7th. And how many of you already knows, because Nathan talked about this in many episodes, and Italians, they take a lot of days off, especially for holidays, and it is a huge preparation. On December 8th, the first thing that we do is just to build the Christmas tree and the nativity. And it's something that we do religiously, like not before, but only in that day. And for me, it is something so important not to do before, like the birthdays. We don't celebrate before that is the day of the event. So on December 8th we build the Christmas tree and the nativity. Nativity, that's so important because it's structured in my memories now, and I can remember every time that we pulled out the same nativity over the years, adding little figures here and there, and we add the little Jesus that is born only on the 25th when he's born. And then from December 8th to the 24th of December, we just use that period like preparation, that we go to buy gifts for our relatives, friends, and we make the house beautiful, music, like Christmas music, and then is the time that we start just going every day to buy ingredients to make multiple dishes, because especially in Naples we eat a lot non-stop, and it is a moment that you meet with your family, relatives and friends, and that's amazing. It's the period of time that I look for, and all my family look for, and everybody should look for. So what we do, we just buy all ingredients, and especially my grandparents, for many years, they love to make the pastiera, that is a wonderful dish that is with ricotta, and has a wonderful layers on top, and it's sweet, and that's wonderful. Another one is a salty dish that's called cassatello. Another one is the struffoli, that are little tiny balls with honey and some candies on top, and there are many others. So what we cook usually is we begin with an appetizer, that is Opticus salad, is the best ever, that oh my god, I can't wait to just get in Naples and have some with just some garlic, parsley, and that's amazing. Then we eat the spaghetti with clams, that is so delicious. And then we have an insalata of rinforzo, that is simply cauliflowers with anchovies, black olives, little bit of vinegar and some onions, and that's amazing. And then we have many others, and then we have panettone, then we have the dry fruit, that is like we call dry fruit, that is walnuts, almonds, is a basket where you put everything inside. So you just eat non-stop, and salads, and this, and this, and this, and then, because eating on the table is a moment of conversation, is a moment to just sharing with your loved ones what that moment now. And usually what I do, we meet with the family or some friends, and we just start around 8 and we finish around midnight, and then we go to the church. Then the day after we begin again, and we do everything that is about meat. So for example, what we can do in Christmas day is the lasagna with the wonderful arrosto, and then we proceed with all things that we made, like cassatello, pastiera, dry fruit, and many other wonderful things. On 26 is the moment where we start eating very a little bit light. So we make the chicken broth with tortellini and some other little things that like black olives and green olives. We have mozzarella and a little bit here and there. And then we take a break for a few days and we restart on New Year Eve again with the seafood. And then on the New Year we have again meat. But we have to say that then all Italians go on vacations from the 24th to January 7th, so they don't work except shops where you can buy gifts, etc. So it's just a period of time that we look for, and we know for sure that we are going to add extra weight because it's just pure enjoyment. And let's not forget something more, like the wine. My favorite wine is Falanghina, that is from Naples, or Prosecco from Conegliano. So also a good glass of wine is always great, I love the holidays.
I think you just made us all very hungry. And as you're talking, I recognize so many of those dishes. In fact, I think I recognize all of them because you've introduced me to all of them, and they've become part of that Christmas tradition in Italy. And I'm just feeling extremely, I don't know, almost a little bit of that pre-traveling melancholy feeling that you get right before you travel. But the thing is, normally when I travel, I'm traveling with you. It feels very strange to be going back to Italy alone and knowing that you're not coming with me, and we're going into Christmas time, which is like my favorite time of the year. I think it's your favorite time of the year too, because it's, the holidays. I know you love summer. You're a warm season kind of person, but as far as Italian holidays, this is your favorite Italian holiday. I guess what kind of advice, I should say, would you give to people who are getting ready to maybe be separate from parts of their family? Maybe they're moving, one of them is moving abroad and the other one's not yet or something. Or what advice would you give to us right now? How are we going to survive these next several months without seeing each other?
Well, today, because we have technology that is going to help us a lot with just stay in contact with your loved ones, my recommendation is just to stay on the phone as much that you can and just get busy with the things that you love, because even though it can be difficult in this moment, can be easy over time, because more that we get busy, more that we don't have time to think about situations and problems. And getting busy, it's good in a healthy way, but also in the same time, that's also good to build a little bit of that you miss someone. But also in the same time, I know that you are going to be with my mom, and that she loves you so much. You have a support system around you. And I know that everything is going to be fine. So I know that it's not going to be easy, but what I recommend to all of you, just to find love within yourself, because it's not the holiday that is magical, it's you.
Wow. It's beautiful. It's so profound.
Well, it's what I believe.
It's almost like you're a life coach or a therapist or something.
Well, it's something that I will do.
You are those things. Well, thanks for your positivity on that, because I certainly am going to need some positivity while I'm in Italy. Now, I'm not complaining about going to Italy, because anytime I get to go to Italy, I feel very fortunate. So I'm certainly not complaining. But it is going to be hard for me not to be there with you. It's a little easier when you're on the East Coast of the United States. There's only a 6-hour time difference. But when you're in California, for example, it's 9 hours time difference. It starts to become very hard to communicate with my family, for example. Anyone that lives in California, which is basically my entire family, lives in California. So anytime I want to talk to them, I've got to coordinate that 9-hour time difference. I'm so glad you're only 6 hours, difference in time. But yeah, it's gonna be a real challenge, and I'll certainly be sharing how that process goes. And I'm gonna really miss you.
Yeah, I will miss you too. And everything is going to be wonderful. What I would say, I am a firm believer in love. So I think that love can overcome everything. And I believe that the most important thing is just to be strong, but also at the same time, don't forget that we are the source of everything. And we can just overcome everything. Sometimes I can feel a little bit like, if I think about that I have my family in Italy, I can feel, oh, yes, they are there and I'm here, I'm alone. But I don't allow myself to go in these places, because why do I have to put myself down and feel sad? What do I say? No, I have a lot to be happy here, and just I try to find the good around me.
Mm-hmm. What do you miss the most about Italy when you're not in Italy?
Well, I think the food, but not in all Italy. I'm very, very pro Naples. Specifically, yes, the food from my region and the smell of my city, the warmth of Napolitanians, the beauty of the ocean is what I miss about Italy. In fact, I loved very much when we went in vacation in Amalfi, because it was a very rewarding, and I am very grateful that we did.
Yeah, that was a wonderful trip. I'm really glad that we did that together too.
And the food was amazing. I can remember still everything that we ate in that restaurant on the Amalfi coast, that was all about like octopus salad. And then I remember this wonderful paccheri with seafood. Oh, it was amazing. It was wonderful, with a wonderful chilled bottle of Langhina that I recommend you to try. It's spectacular. It's a white wine.
Yeah, Falanghina, that is your favorite wine.
Yes.
It only grows in that volcanic soil, sort of in those vineyards, right at the base and in that area around Mount Vesuvius.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's a really light white wine. Well, Alessandro, I have so many questions that I wanted to ask you, and I feel like I could just talk to you forever. And I might have to replay this episode every time I miss you, just so I can hear your voice. If you're still sleeping and I need to hear Alessandro's voice, I can just turn this episode on.
Well, it's what I do often with your episodes. In order to feel you so close to me, I always put one of your episodes that are so amazing, because I find out things that I didn't know.
So are you saying that you actually learned things about Italy from listening to this podcast?
No, what I have learned is Italy from your own eyes, and it was a very interesting perspective to hear, because it was different than mine. And I also discovered many new things that I didn't know about me, because it's the way that you describe me and the way that you describe life, and I think that's so meaningful. And thank you so much for sharing this with all of us.
Wow. Well, thank you. Without you, there would be no I'm Moving to Italy podcast. So I want to take a quick moment to say thank you so much for being the best Italian guide, the best partner in crime, the best adventurer, a co-adventurer through this crazy life that we're living. It seems like our life has been kind of chaotic for the last several years. We went through kind of some crazy couple of years in Italy, and now we're trying to kind of get ourselves rooted in both the United States and Italy, so that we have a real sense of home in both countries. I think that's going to make a big difference for how our Italian experiences moving forward, like when we really know, like, okay, for Christmas we're going to be in this house and we're going to be doing this, and we're going to have a Christmas tree in this corner, and we're going to have these people come over, or for Easter we're going to be in this country, we're going to be in this house. I have enjoyed the nomadic kind of interesting lifestyle we've had, but I've also been craving, I think, for the roots to go down. And we're getting closer, I think, to putting down our permanent roots in both countries, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I think also this what also life it is about. It's about, you know, discovering what is next. And I love that also we had and we have an adventurous life, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. It's definitely not boring, is it?
No.
Sometimes I crave the boring, actually.
I don't.
Good for you.
Good for you.
I don't think I'm craving travel so much as I used to. I think I'm craving, like, home and to be able to, you know, have a favorite spot to sit down and read a book or to have a garden to know that you can grow the same things every year and or have wildflowers, you know, grow every year from the same wildflowers. I don't know. I'm beginning to feel more and more sentimental for a sense of home than ever.
Yeah, but also another beautiful thing that many wonderful surprises are going to come in 2023. So let's make this happen.
I agree. That's a great way to end our segment together. We have a lot of wonderful things coming in the coming year of 2023, don't we?
Yes, it will.
Well, Alessandro, thank you so much for being one of my favorite guests of all time on this podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and it was an honor to be part of your podcast and of this episode.
Thanks for letting me always talk about you and reference you, and thanks for being just such a good sport about being here today, and it'll be interesting to keep everyone posted on how our multiple month separation goes.
Well, I believe that everything can just be modified. I love that things can change quickly and in an instant. So I don't believe that we will have a long separation. I believe that things can happen and change quickly.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good for us to have spend a little bit of time apart. It'll probably make us both really, really productive. But I'll be looking forward to seeing you again soon.
Same for me.
All right. Well, I love you, and thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much. Love you.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Alessandro as much as I enjoyed sharing it with you. That was really fun to sit down with him and have that time together. And I really appreciate you taking the time to do that, Alessandro. And man, you were a real expert. It seems like you've been doing this for a long time. I'm really grateful that we have FaceTime. That is going to be a great way to spend Christmas and to be able to kind of bridge that gap between Italy and the United States while we are apart. All right, well, that brings us to our second segment for today, which is our segment with Vera, La Vera Italia. And Vera is going to be finishing up her list of kind of random things that she feels are going to be really, really helpful for those of us who are going to be moving to Italy or spending a lot of time in Italy. So here is the second half of Vera's list of things that will help you to adjust to life in Italy. Hello, Vera. Welcome back to another segment of La Vera Italia.
Ciao, Nathan. Come stai?
Molto bene, grazie.
I don't know if you noticed that I asked that in a different tone tonight because you don't sound fine.
Yes, well, as I've just mentioned in my opening segment, the last week has been a little bit of a challenging week, and Thanksgiving didn't really go as planned. So Alessandro and I are still recovering from pretty bad case of the flu that we got right before Thanksgiving. So for about 5 days, we've been dealing with fevers and, you know, flu symptoms.
Oh no, poverini.
Esatto, poverini.
Poverini, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Well, thank you. We're actually today is the best day so far. Even though my voice sounds a little off, we are definitely on the other side of it now. There's this really bad flu virus called type A flu virus going around, especially the East Coast and the southern parts of the United States right now. So we just happened to get it. I went to an event on a week ago today, and 2 days later, I was very, very sick. So, and then I sadly gave it to Alessandro, and then he got it. He had it over his birthday.
Oh, no. And it's all your fault.
It's completely my fault. But anyway, no, we're okay. Tutto bene, grazie.
Good to hear that. Mi fa piacere.
I know you don't celebrate Thanksgiving in Italy, but it's interesting that even though Italians don't celebrate Thanksgiving, they still have their own unique Italian word for Thanksgiving.
Yes, we do, but it's like the word Thanksgiving. It's a literal translation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's ringraziamento, ringraziamento.
Okay.
So you see there's the word grazie in there.
Right.
And we also have the verb ringraziare, which is to thank someone. So ringraziamento, the thankening, Thanksgiving, basically.
Interesting. Ringraziamento.
Yeah, we would usually say il giorno del ringraziamento, Thanksgiving Day.
Okay, so that's how you refer to the American Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because, you know, we've always watched American movies here since TV was invented, I guess. And you have all these movies around the holiday season, you know, starting from Thanksgiving up to Christmas. And we had to come up with something. So, il ringraziamento, or il giorno del ringraziamento. And I don't think I've ever heard of an Italian having tacchino. Do you know what tacchino is?
I do, turkey.
Turkey. No, I mean, we do eat turkey, but not the whole turkey like you do, like in the oven for days to cook. We just have parts of the turkey, and maybe in a roll or something. But maybe it's just me, but I've never heard anyone saying, oh, we are cooking a whole tacchino.
Hmm. Yeah, well, sometime if I ever happen to celebrate Thanksgiving in Italy, you're certainly going to be invited so you can experience it.
Thank you.
I actually cooked 2 turkeys over the past month.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm figuring out how to cook turkeys. There's a lot of people that think they don't like turkey. Maybe they just don't like it. But most of the biggest reason people don't like it usually is because people cook it wrong and it comes out very dry.
Mm-hmm.
And so the key is to try to cook it and use a lot of little techniques to make sure that it doesn't dry out. And then it's really nice and yummy.
Do you think your Italian oven is big enough to fit a whole turkey?
Yeah, I think so. I think it just depends on the size of the turkey, obviously, and the size of the pan that you're using. But yeah, I think so. Most Italian ovens I've seen, even though they're small, they would still fit a turkey in them. But you just have to get a smaller one.
So like a chicken.
A large chicken, basically. So I've actually tried to find a turkey. Our very first Christmas in Italy, I tried to find a turkey, and I was quite proud of myself because I'd found what I thought was a very large bird that there's no way it could have been anything else. But when I got home, I realized that the bird, tucked underneath the bird, were legs, completely full legs with claws on them still, and a head with a beak and some little stray feathers here and there. And when I picked the bird up out of the package, I accidentally squeezed it a little bit. And the bird made a noise.
What do you mean it made a noise? Was it alive? It
still had a head. And so when I pushed the air, accidentally forced some air, it goes, burr.
Only you. I mean,
I threw the bird down so fast and ran away because I was like, this is some strange, strange, strange country that I've just moved to. What's happening? They sell you birds that are fully intact and partially still alive.
Okay, fully in touch, there's a reason because the head and the legs are good. You can make chicken broth with that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
But the sound part, it never happened to me. So I have no idea.
But I guarantee you, you've never purchased one of these birds before. This was something strange. It was something, it was a rooster or something.
I think it was a faraona, maybe.
Yeah.
Was it called faraona?
Yeah, yeah.
I always make it for Christmas, yeah.
Oh, it's, you do?
It's a kind of hen.
Okay, well, this is the biggest hen I've ever seen in my
life.
It is.
It is big and good.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Put stuffing inside so it's still moist.
Oh, really? Put stuffing in? Is that an Italian thing?
Yeah, we put inside. It could either be just herbs like rosemary, sage, and all these things. Mm-hmm. Or you can even have some bread that you soak with some chestnut, for example.
Nice. All right. Well, enough about Thanksgiving and all those wonderful things. We'll have to have maybe around Christmas time, we'll have to have a conversation all about food and traditions and some of those.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, do you have a question, an Italian question for me today, Vera?
Thank you. I almost forgot about that. You know what? Yes, I do have a question for you. And it's longer this time.
Okay. Let's see what we can do.
È quasi dicembre. Tu fai il calendario dell'avvento?
Okay, go ahead and let's hear it one more time.
È quasi dicembre.
Mm-hmm.
Tu fai il calendario dell'avvento?
Okay. It's almost December. Do you have an advent calendar?
Yeah, I actually asked you if you make it. I mean, if you have it, if you do it, you know, the verb I used is fare, but that's what I meant, if you have it.
Yeah, do you is it like a tradition of yours to like use an advent calendar, right?
Correct.
Actually, I did buy an advent calendar. And I love advent calendars because that's something that my mom would always get for us when we were growing up. And I love that tradition. Is that a tradition in Italy?
Well, it's not just in certain parts of Italy, especially in the north. But it's a tradition for me. My aunt started that for me when I was little. And ever since I met Luca, our very first Christmas together, I made... And I mean, I literally made do-it-yourself project, an advent calendar for him, a different one every year. And it's something I just love doing because I have so much fun with paper and colors and things. So I have an advent calendar. But what you said was very interesting about your mom and so, but you said it in English.
I did. So let's see if we can say it in Italian. Of course, she caught me. All right. So... Sì, ho un calendario dell'avvento a casa.
E cosa c'è dentro? Cioccolato, caramelle o piccoli regali?
Oh, interessante. In Stati Uniti non hai regali per avvento.
Solo il numero?
Sì, solo numeri.
Poverini.
Giusto. Wow, we just had a whole conversation in Italian.
Bravo, Nathan.
So I'm gonna let you translate what we just said, Vera.
Well, I asked you if inside, I mean, every box, every day, there's a chocolate, a candy, or a little present, like stockings, you know? And you said, no, that in the U.S., there's nothing in it, just the number.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
I know. Well, the ones that we had growing up, they're like, I don't know, like a piece of cardboard, I guess. And, you know, there's this beautiful scene, you know, going on, Christmas scene of some kind. And each day of the Advent, is it Is it the whole month or is it, it's only like
24 days from December 1st up to Christmas Eve.
Okay. Okay. So that's interesting. Now I'm going to have to check out the ones in Italy, because if you, so it's like you open a little door and there's a little spot to put a little tiny gift. Oh, that's
well, no, the ones you buy here in Italy, they are pre-made. So yes, there's this tiny, we call it tiny window, finestrella. You open the tiny window and you usually find a chocolate inside, shaped like Santa Claus or a reindeer or a little Christmas gift, you know, different shapes.
Hmm.
And those are the store-bought advent calendars. Then you have ones that are themed, like, I don't know, maybe you have tiny dolls or Lego figures or things like that. Or in my case, I just buy the things I want to put inside and just make little gifts, little packages, and it could be anything like sweet or just snacks or maybe little presents.
Oh, wow. Well, I can see that for next Christmas, we're going to need to get together. And for YouTube, we're going to have to do a little how to make Vera's advent calendar. That would be really fun.
In Italian.
In Italian, of course. Now that sounds really cool. Yeah, the ones we used to have, you just open up the little door and then, I don't know, you'd read a little something on the piece of paper on the door, the little window thing that you opened, and that was it. We didn't get any. We just thought opening the door was a big deal. Clearly, the ones in Italy are much cooler than the ones in the United States.
Yeah, because it's always about food for us. So it must be
absolutely
chocolate or something.
I love it. Well, that was a great question. And thanks for reminding me about advent calendars. I'd kind of forgotten about them until I just recently saw one. And I picked it up because I was feeling nostalgic. And that's really cool that you do that too. That's a great tradition.
Yeah, I love it.
Luca's very lucky.
He is. I also choose candies that I like.
Of course.
So it's for him, but yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad he shares. That's wonderful. Well, in our last segment last week, we had made it through a list of some kind of random items that didn't really fit into any specific categories. And there's different things that you wanted to share that you felt like would be helpful for people moving to Italy.
Today, I have added two main topics. And the first one is property hunting in Italy. I mean, when you buy a house, or even if you just come for a holiday, you rent an apartment or an Airbnb or whatever. So if you're not staying in a hotel, but in a house, a few things that you might find useful, I think. So the first thing is actually the size of the house, the size of the property or the apartment, because when you see an ad or a listing, if you're buying, you will find words like bilocale, trilocale, quadrilocale. So locale basically means room, okay? And B, it's two, it's like buy in English. Bilocale, two rooms. Trilocale, three rooms. So it makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not like you do in the US, bedrooms. It's rooms in general. So the count is different and it's weird. So a bilocale, a two-room apartment in Italy, it's actually one bedroom because the other room is the living room kitchen area. So we don't count bedrooms, we count the number of rooms, general rooms we have in the house without bathrooms.
Okay.
So trilocale, three rooms. It's two bedrooms and a dining room / kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Now with the kitchen, it's all a different story because it depends on the kind of kitchen you have in the apartment. We can have a kitchen area in the living room, so no doors, and that doesn't count as a room. Or you can have like a corner in the house, but basically if there's no door to the kitchen, then it doesn't count. in the number of rooms you find on the listing. If it has a door, we call it cucina abitabile. So a kitchen you can live in, but that basically means there's room enough for a table so you can have your meals in the kitchen or in the living room, dining room. So you have to count your rooms differently. And you have to be very careful with that because it can be kind of confusing. And also the other information that listings give is the surface, but that's in square meter. So that doesn't have either, right? Like your height last time.
Right.
So just make sure you count the number of bedrooms you need and not just the rooms. Don't mix the two things because it's not bedrooms, it's just rooms, including dining room and possibly the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really, really good information to know. Bilocale, which is the same way we would say bicycle.
Bicicletta.
Basically. Yeah, mm-hmm. Bicicletta. Yes. But so bicycle would mean two wheels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bicicletta. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Correct. So that really just means that it's one bedroom. A tre locale is a two bedroom. Mm-hmm. And then you just keep sort of, but it's basically subtract. You're basically subtracting one bedroom from each number, right? So if it's saying it's five, then it's going to be a four bedroom.
Yeah, but you better read the description because if it's five, so pinta locale, but maybe one is a real kitchen with a door. And maybe you have a double living room because one is the dining room and the other one is the sitting room, maybe in two different rooms. So at that point, that leaves you just two bedrooms.
Okay, so you might be getting bonus living spaces, but not bedrooms. Just be aware.
The number of rooms in your house with four walls and one door. That's how we said it.
Yeah.
Not including the bathrooms.
Right.
So just double check and ask if you're not sure about the number of bedrooms you need.
Yeah. So if you're reading in the description and if you're looking at an Italian website, Italian property listing website, anytime they say camera da letto, like if they say due camera da letto or tre camera da letto, quattro, that's specifically referring to bedrooms, right?
Correct. Camera da letto is bedroom because letto is bed.
Excellent. Okay, that's really very helpful. Thank you. That's a really good pointer for anybody shopping for property, which most of the people listening to this podcast have either plans to shop for property or have been shopping for property. Maybe they've already shopped for property and found something, but that's really, really helpful. Thank you, Vera.
Mm-hmm. And once you have your property or you're here even on holiday, you're using the house, you're using the apartment, the villa, whatever you have. And there are a few things you need to know. The first one is don't use two appliances at the same time, like dishwasher and oven, or air conditioning and your hair dryer, for example. Just don't, because Italian houses are not built for that, and your power will just go off. So you will be in the dark, maybe having a shower in that very moment, completely dark. You don't have no idea where to find the fuse, where to turn everything up again. So we don't have enough electricity. I don't know why, but our household have a very limited energy supply, electrical supply. So basically, you can only use one appliance at a time.
Now, would you say that that's one major appliance at a time, or just in general, only one appliance at a time?
Major ones. So for example, your fridge, your TV, that's not a problem.
Okay, very good. That's happened to us many times over the past couple of years while living in Italy. And it was usually my fault because I would be in the kitchen and I would be putting something in the oven for dinner and starting the dishwasher at the same time. And then, you know, going to whatever, going to do something else in the bathroom, and then everything's dark. And I was like, what's going on? And Alessandra was like, yeah, we can't have the oven on with the dishwasher. And I was like, okay. So it's not that it doesn't happen like in every single building. Like, it seems like industrial buildings or things like that that are maybe set up differently probably wouldn't have that problem. But it seems like in residential homes, it just seems like the way that they build the circuitry, or I'm not an electrician, so I can't even talk about it in an intelligent way, but the way that they build the breakers and the circuitry in the house is you can't overload it.
Well, actually, it's not the way they're built, because if you pay more, you pay an extra, you're allowed to use more electricity than that. I have no idea how to say it in English. In Italian, we talk about kilowattora. Mm-hmm.
Kilowattora. Mm-hmm. Kilowatts.
Yeah, that was easy. Kilowatts. That's how you measure electricity. Mm-hmm. And you can pay way more to have more kilowatts available for you in your home. But nobody does that because it's really very, very expensive and we're just used to it. Mm-hmm. So we actually plan our cooking routine or the dishwasher and so on in a way that it's safe for us and we can do everything. So we are just used to it. And it's like, what are we having tonight? Do we need the oven? And I'm like, no, we don't. Okay, so I'll start the washing machine. So that's a normal conversation in Italian.
Yeah.
We usually do. So we are just used to it. And so it's not the way it's built, but it's probably to save. If everyone was allowed to use as much electricity they wanted, probably there would be a problem because we sort of have a shortage of electricity. So that's maybe why. Mm. But obviously, if you go to a hotel, you don't need to ask your neighbor, oh, sorry, are you using your hair dryer too? Because I need to use mine. No, that's fine. Mm. And industries, of course. But at home, if you want to pay, it's still pretty expensive compared to other European countries. But if you don't want to really spend a lot of money on it, you just get used to it. And that's the reason why, one of the reasons why we don't have dryers. They're getting a little bit more common now, but we don't have them because, you know, we have il sole, so it's always sunshine here, and we can hang our clothes outside or out the balcony, out the window, and on a clothesline that is so unique of Italy and so beautiful when you walk through an Italian city. Or you just wait and keep your clothes next to the radiators or the fireplace or whatever. We're just used to it.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique thing. And I can say that after you get used to it, like you said, you don't really think of it as being like something that's a huge inconvenience. It's just like, do I really need to have the washing machine on at the same time as the oven or the dishwasher on at the same time as the oven? Not really. And the hair dryer is the thing I think that can sometimes throw you off, because maybe you're in the bathroom and you don't realize somebody else has just turned on the dishwasher.
That's why you ask before turning that on.
Well, and that's how you learn. That's how I learned.
So you go like, posso accendere il phone? Can I turn the hair dryer on? Yeah, we call it phone. I know, that's weird. Not phone. We spell it as if it were English, even though it's not. It's P-H, which is not an Italian letter cluster. No. P-H-O-N, phon. We pronounce it phon. It derives from the German föhn, which is a warm wind from the north.
Wow.
In Italian, that wind is called favonio. But then when they invented the hair dryer, the actual name is asciugacapelli, so literally hair dryer, but I don't know if it was a commercial back then or something, they decided to use the German Fern because it sounded very, yeah, dry and strong, Fern. And then it got lost in translation or something, and we now use it spelled as if it were English, phone.
Phone, but there's not an E on the end.
No.
F-P-H-O-N.
O-N, yes, that's how we spell Fern. But that's not how you spell it in German, so that's why it's so confusing.
Okay. Very interesting. Okay, so hairdryer is called a phone.
Yeah, because a sugar capelli is too long.
Yes, it is. That's a long word. A sugar capelli.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay, wow, that's very interesting. And that's also another very good point. If you're moving to Italy, you're going to experience this in your apartment or your villa or your home. It's something that you will deal with.
And then there's one last item on this topic. And I really, really never thought of it until a friend of mine from the US was like, what is this? Why is it here? What do we need it for? And I was like, hello, it's just so normal. And it was so mind-blowing for me because I thought it was something that everyone had all over the world. So in the bathroom, in the shower, like in the shower or just next to your bathtub, there is a string and it's just that you can pull, of course. Do you have an idea what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what it is. Uh-huh.
And that's an alarm. So if you have a problem, if you slip in the shower, you're hurt, you're there, you're all soapy and you can't get up again, you just ring that and it rings somewhere in your apartment. And so if there is someone home with you, they can come and help. And if you're in a hotel, that same alarm goes off at the reception. Most of the time, or on the hallway. So, you know, cleaning staff or just anyone who's there can hear it and come and help you. So it's a safety thing. And I thought that was all over the world because it's kind of smart, especially for elderly people or, you know, just in case, you never know, it's right there. But I figured out it's just us.
Well, yeah, I've never seen it unless it's like a custom additional thing that someone puts in their house maybe when they become older. But yeah, you're right, it's definitely not a common thing in other places in the world, but it is very, very smart. Now, are you saying that it automatically goes into every bathroom no matter what age the person is that's living there?
Yeah, when you buy a house, a brand new house, it's already there. It's always been there in every single house where I live. I think it's even mandatory to have Probably. It. I'm not sure. I will have to double check. But yeah, it is in every single bathroom, also in public restrooms. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it is. It is in every single house, even the older apartments that I've seen or, you know, things very, very old. They still have that in the shower.
Right. I mean, the first time I saw one of those in Italy, I was like, what is this? And I pulled on it. And this whole crazy alarm starts going off. And I was like, what in the world did I just do? And Alessandro comes running and he goes, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I just didn't know what this thing was.
Like a child. Right. I wanted to see if something happened.
But it's good to know that if you're in a hotel in Italy and you try to pull on that string that's attached to that alarm, somebody will probably come to your room. Or will they call your room?
Yeah, probably they will call your room. If you don't get the call, maybe someone's going to knock on your room. And then it depends how long you're pulling it. If it's just a tiny bit, I don't know. But they are double checking because that's why it's there.
Right. And the string goes down far enough so that if you were in your bathtub and you've slipped and you've fallen down, the only thing you can do is reach up with your arm, right? And pull on that string. So it's usually at about that length, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really hanging low so that it's actually useful because it's if it's up there and you fell down and you cannot stand up,
right?
There's no use for it. So,
so interesting. What an interesting points to bring up. You're bringing up so many of these topics that are so easy once you spend even a short period of time in Italy. You start becoming so accustomed to things and you start forgetting how unusual these things are compared to other places in the world. So what a great thing to bring up and to mention. Excellent. Was that the last thing on your list today, Vera?
Well, it was the last one for the house.
Okay.
Now we are switching to another one because okay. You're here, you got to your apartment, and now you're ready to explore the area. So you're going to drive in Italy. How do you feel about driving in Italy, Nathan?
I have to tell you, I think driving in Italy is wonderful. I don't have any problems but driving in Italy. And maybe it's because I've driven in Manhattan and in New York City, and I've driven so much in my life, and I love driving, and it doesn't intimidate me to drive. But a lot of people say that driving in Italy is so difficult for them, and I don't understand it. I don't understand why, but I also know that it depends on where you are in Italy, right? I think driving in Rome and Milan is probably a little different than driving in Naples.
Well, of course. And then also in bigger cities, it's different than in the countryside. But usually what I've heard here from foreigners and tourists and so on is there are two main reasons why most people hate driving in Italy, because we drive too fast. And the streets, the roads are really narrow. And yeah, they have a point on that because our speed limits are higher than in the United States.
It sounded like you said spit limits, but
I
think what you want to say is speed limits.
Speed. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So where was I? And they have a point there because we do drive fast. Our speed limits are higher than in the United States and we don't respect them. I mean, that's the only rule that I think nobody ever respects. We drive faster than the speed limit. Mm-hmm. And I did that again, right?
You can say it again if you want.
Why do I say that? Okay. from where? I just lost
that my... Only, you said that's the only rule that we...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the only rule, the only law that every single Italian does not respect. We drive faster than the speed limits because there are two... I don't know. We just don't care. We just have a look at the road and say, I know I can drive faster than that.
Now, just a quick little question for you on that, Vera, because mm-hmm. I've learned a very hard lesson in Italy about ignoring the speed limit, especially in the north. This might only be in Veneto. I don't know, because people in Veneto are very specific about their rules. But my gosh, there are so many cameras around that'll catch you speeding. I have not only gotten speeding tickets just driving around city, our local city, but when we went down recently, this past year, when we went down to Naples and southern Italy, just driving through on the Autostrada, I think it was driving through the city of Padua, mm-hmm. there and back, I got a speeding ticket both directions on the way down and on the way back up driving. And I didn't even think I was going very fast.
Well, you see, that's your fault. Okay. Little secret here. This is a very secret thing that I'm going to tell you right now. And the thing is that by law, every time there's a camera, there must be a sign before that. When we drive, we just keep an eye on the road and the other eye looking at all the signs along the road. And when it says controllo velocità, so like speed camera, we just know And we slow down right away. And it can be dangerous because even people behind you don't know that, but we do. So it has to be like 500 meters maybe before the actual camera. And then they are in fixed positions usually. So we know where they are. And that's how we avoid those kind of tickets.
So do you have those, the same ones in Tuscany?
Yeah, we have a little bit less, fewer of them than in Veneto or Lombardia, just because here there's less traffic, fewer people, fewer roads. And so obviously you don't need that much control. Like in the north, there are less fewer cars in general. So it's a little bit easier, but we do have those. Now they're trying new cameras and like they take your average speed in, I don't know, maybe 5 kilometers, 10 kilometers. And then you get the ticket only if your average speed was above the limit. But they have to tell you. So you have a sign that says, starting from this point, your average speed will be measured up until, and then you have another sign. So you know that. And for that minute or two, you just go slower.
Yes, that's definitely one of those lessons that you learn the hard way in Italy.
Anyway, you should respect all the limits here because you're the foreigner, you don't know, but don't be surprised if Italians just pass you or even are like, ma guarda questo, dai, ma vai, vai, vai. They're like, go, go, what are you doing here?
So. Yeah, Italians don't like to have slow drivers, do they?
No, we don't.
Right.
And I know Italy is beautiful, and I know you're driving around, you're just, you know, having fun, enjoying the area, and there's a beautiful view on your right, and then another beautiful village on your left, but you can't slow us down. We are going to work. We are going back home. We want to drive faster. So if you want to look at the landscape, just pull over and get out of your car.
Yeah. Now, another question I have for you that maybe you can give us a pointer on. And on the autostrada, so that means basically like the highway, the freeway, whatever you call it, in the United States or other places in the world, you absolutely should never be in the fast lane if you're not going at an absolutely top speed. And the top speed is quite a bit over the limit, right? So that's another thing I had to learn the hard way is you're on the autostrada and you're just like, okay, I'm going to just, you know, go over. There's nobody in that lane. So I'm just going to go over in that far left lane and I'm going to just drive. I'm going to just drive over there because there's nobody there. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, without any warning, because the car is coming so fast, you don't even have time to react, an Audi or a BMW or a Range Rover or a Alfa Romeo or one of these crazy cars comes along as fast as possible and they start flashing their headlights at you, like, get out of my way. I don't even want to have to put my foot on the brake for you. If I have to come up behind you and put my foot even on my brake, I am going to be so, so angry.
You got us. That's exactly what we think. That's exactly what we do. So it's the law to always drive on the right lane, or at least now this is weird, hard, and difficult to explain, even in Italian. Mm-hmm. So the first lane that is free starting from your right. So the farthest right is there are all the trucks driving. You don't have to stay there before. So you take the second from the right.
The center lane.
Yeah. But there are also some roads that have four. So
right. So
the second starting from the right. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of cars there and you want to pass them, then you go to the left lane if it's only a three-lane road or and so on. So you start from your right and then move to your left.
As you get faster, you're saying?
Yeah, as you get faster as you need to go. Right. Let's say the road is completely empty. There's no one there. You just keep the right one.
Right.
That's what you do if you don't want a driver in his Alfa Romeo flashing the hand lights at you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming that's like that everywhere in Italy, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some Italians do that too. So we really get mad and we're like, vai a destra, vai a destra. Destra is right.
Is there ever a time, we're not referring to cameras that are tracking your speed, but is there ever a time when an officer, a police officer of some kind, would be on an autostrada and would be checking your speed and giving you a ticket for speeding?
Yes.
Oh.
But even in that case, they're supposed to tell you that that might happen, and they are in exact spots, and usually you can see them from further away, so you just slow down at that point. But yeah, it does happen. We call it a gun, so they sort of have a laser gun, and they just check how fast you're going. But they have to stop you right there. That's another weird law. So they cannot just send you the ticket home. They have to check your speed, and just if it was too fast, it was too high, they just need to stop you right there. So maybe there is another patrol a few hundred meters along the way, and they'll stop you there and tell you that. But that's, yeah, it doesn't happen that often, I might say. Usually there are the machines, the cameras that are always there. And yes, sometimes the police. What does happen, though, quite often here in Italy, and it can be sort of strange, let's say, for foreigners, is that the polizia stradale, so the police for the roads, but also carabinieri or guardia di finanza, so the tax and money police, can stop you anytime and ask you for your driver license, for your car insurance, and all the documents that must be perfect. And or just they stop you, they look at you and say, okay, you can go. Maybe they're looking for someone with the same car or a similar car. So it happens quite often to be stopped by the police. Even if you've done anything wrong, you haven't done anything wrong, you're just driving below the speed limits and you're just there and you didn't do anything wrong, but the police can stop you and they will stop you for any reason. But it's just a way for us to feel sort of safer. Sometimes they have their guns out because if they're looking for someone, a suspect or someone, a criminal, you know, they even have their guns, their rifles out, they stop you and they look at you, they point their flashlight at you if it's night, but it's totally for your safety. So we are not scared, we're not afraid. Obviously, if they stop you just, you know, like this random check, and you start slurring your words because you went out, you had too much vino, then they can check your alcohol level. But I mean, if you have nothing to hide, it's not a problem at all.
Okay. Very good to know. One final thing, a tip that I would share with my fellow travelers, and I can't tell you if this is true for all phones, but I know this is true for iPhones. And that is, if you have an iPhone and you are using your phone for directions, the phone will warn you there's a speed camera ahead. You have that same thing in Italy, right?
Yeah.
You have an iPhone.
Well, I do have an iPhone, but even if you don't have an iPhone, there are apps that do that. You can just download them.
Right.
Maps, they tell you where the closest gas station is or the speed camera.
Exactly. That was great, Vera. Thank you so much for those tips on how to survive without breaking the law and without getting tickets and getting yourself into too much trouble while you're in Italy. Those are very, very helpful tips. Really, really appreciate that. We really appreciate your expertise and your perspective on Italy from the viewpoint of a real Italian. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you next week for another episode.
Thank you. Ci vediamo settimana prossima. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao, ciao. Thank you, Vera. What a wonderful segment, as always. Once again, you have enlightened us and we're a little smarter just from listening to your advice. So thanks again for sharing your wonderful insights and wisdom from the perspective of a real Italian. Don't forget, if you want to have Vera as your personal language coach like she is mine, go to kikelanguage.com and you can sign up for one of her wonderful classes, her one-on-one coaching classes, which is fantastic. Her group coaching classes are also fantastic. So check out kikelanguage.com. You can also visit imovingtoitaly.com. I have links to her website. You can check her out by going to my website as well. I'd like to take a quick moment to wish my grandmother a happy 85th birthday. My gram is 85 years old today, November 28th, and I would like to wish her a very, very happy birthday. I called her earlier, and Alessandro and I were able to wish her happy birthday. And for my surrounding sound today, I'm going to play for you the song that we always play anytime we're getting ready to sing happy birthday or buon compleanno or tanti auguri to anyone in Italy who is having a birthday. So I'm going to play the Italian version of happy birthday for my dear grandmother all the way in California today. Graham, I wish I was there celebrating with you, and I sure do miss you, but I'm so glad I got to spend some time with you while we visited California this time around, and I'm looking forward to being back to visit you again very soon. So, happy birthday, tanti auguri, buon compleanno to my Graham. Tanti auguri, Graham. Well, thank you so much to all of you for coming back and sharing this episode with me. I am so grateful I get to spend this time with you. Thanks for coming along on this crazy adventure, this ever-changing adventure of moving to Italy, which of course involves visiting home occasionally. And sometimes I'm always a little unsure, should I be documenting my trips back and forth from the United States to Italy? And one thing I think that the conclusion I've come to is that when you move to Italy, you're not just going to move to Italy and never come home to see your friends and family again that you grew up with, that you know, that you love. Your family's always your family. Your friends that you grew up with and the people that you are so close to, you know, they want to come and visit in Italy, but it's a little easier for you to come back home where everybody is rather than everybody coming to visit you. So thanks for allowing me to share these last few weeks of traveling with you, and I'll be giving you a full report in my next episode. But thank you again so much for being here with me today and for sharing this wonderful episode with Alessandro, for Vera and her wonderful segment. I want to thank our sponsors today, ExpressVPN and Babbel Language. So we've only got about 10 episodes left in the season, so I'm really looking forward to sharing Christmas in Italy with you, and just we'll see how the adventure goes. Like Alessandro said, 2023 is going to be a year full of surprises and adventures, and I'm looking forward to bringing you along and sharing all of those with you. Well, my friend, wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice today, I hope you are healthy and well, and I look forward to being back here with you next week for another episode. So until then, take care. God bless. Ciao, ciao, ciao.